Jowson, sweetie, please drop that beat to start the show.
The Romantic Truth Podcast extends a loving and warm welcome to listeners in celebration of our sixth year of the show. We wish you a promising 2024.
Please be advised that due to the language, subject matter, and topics of the show, adults 18 years of age and older are highly recommended for this content.
Uninterrupted and commercial-free listening.
Now, since all of that is over, I would like to take this opportunity and introduce you to the host of Romantic Truth, Jowson in Las Vegas.
Hey everyone, Jowson with you here. Romantic Truth, Las Vegas, baby. Yeah, keeping it real. You know what's really funny? I was talking to a friend of mine last night. And Brenda, if you're listening, love you, dear. And here's the thing. Brenda said something that was kind of interesting. She said that in her circle of friends, if a man is in his 30s and up, they think of him as a pervert if he dates a woman from 18 to about 30. They actually believe that men who go that young with women are doing it specifically for control. Now I'm going to get Brenda on this show, some way, somehow. So you can be as bashful as you want to, voice your opinion with me, but whenever you want to, my dear, you have an invite. But here's the thing that gets me the most. I've heard a lot of women say this. They look at men as being perverted if you go from the legal age of 18 in some states it's 21. In Nevada, you got to be 21 before you can go into a casino or considered an adult. In other states, you only have to be 18. And up to 30. So if a 60-year-old man is with a 30-year-old woman or a 29-year-old woman, they'd look at him as being a sugar daddy or a pervert. And God help him if he goes younger. Now, I'm talking about within legal age range. I'm not talking about none of the crazy stuff. Now, she said on the same ball court, if a woman dates a man that's younger than 5 years than she, they look at her as being a cradle robber. So what that means is that if she went and stooped as low as the man did as far as age, then she would be looked upon as a cradle robber, basically. Because of the patriarchal thing in our society. Women are much harder on each other than men are on women when it comes to criticism. Unless you're in a relationship. I'm just talking generally, socially. If a woman wears a provocative dress into an establishment, the women will complain, the men will admire. That's the way it goes. Now, ladies, let me tell you something. Those of you who dress very provocatively, what are men focused on? A lot of women have asked me this question. Even my friend Brenda asked me this question about what do we focus on when we see a provocatively dressed woman? And I would tell you, I wish you would have brought your ass on the show like you said you were initially. That's so nice. But anyway, it comes down to this. If you're wearing a split, we're trying to see how high that split goes and whether or not you're wearing any panties. As a man, I'm saying this. Yes, ladies, we do look there. oh, we're not going to do the edit. Well, some guys will do the edit where they won't look. I'm looking. You sit there with your leg propped up if you want to. I'm looking. Because the way I look at it is, if you consciously know that that dress is split and you're going to wear it like that, and then you're going to prop your leg up on a table or something, or a chair or something, so I can get a good look, I'm looking. Now, this doesn't mean that you have my attention in the sense that you can come over and ask me for money or something to drink or something like that. I'm being a voyeur at that time. You're being an exhibitionist. I get it. But don't get so full of yourself. I'm just telling you what men will usually view and think about something like that. Another thing. Ladies with the low-cut tops. Some of you ladies don't like wearing low-cut tops because you have stretch marks on your titties. Let's face it. Some of you are embarrassed by that. I've been in some clubs where the damn stretch marks damn near starts at the collarbone and go all the way down. And these women would like wear low-cut tops. Proudly. Because they knew if they took out their titty, every man in that club gonna try to suck on it. That's the way it is. Now, some of you ladies actually think that all men like boobs that are sitting up. Now, ladies, let me let you in on a few things here. We don't mind them sitting up if they're natural and if they look natural. We prefer them just to have a natural feel about them. Some of you are going to get these balloon titties with this augmentation where the titty's holding your chin up. And it looks ridiculous. Especially if you're real skinny and you have big titties and no ass. And I'm not talking about natural titties. I'm talking about those fake ones. Where we know. Because see, we get a few beers in us. The first thing we're thinking is, damn, she sat down so long, all that fluid went from my ass to her titties. That's what we're thinking. I'm serious. It happens. Well, ladies, you talk about us all the time as well. Look at him, wearing that Dunlap. That Dunlap tie around his waist and lapped over his belt. It happens. See, we both can't be too critical of each other because we're going to age. And we're going to gray. And we're not going to look so attractive. At least in some cases. I have this one friend of mine. And this lady, let me tell you. She was okay looking when she was younger. I mean, she wasn't at a point where she could stop traffic back then. Now that she's gotten older and got that gray going on. Shit, that's a fine ass woman. She has to beat young men off of her now. And every time I talked to her, she said, remember the time you turned me down? I was like, yep. I wonder why. I didn't like the lady she was hanging out with. Because she was a gossip box. But what that shows you is that through the stages of life, people can change, and some of them actually get better as they age. And then there are others that, well, you know, their age depends on how they take care of themselves, genetics, a lot of things are contingent there. And I think sometimes we focus so much on beauty. As you get older, it should be less about beauty and being handsome. And more about the quality of the person. Most women get fucked over by handsome guys. That's just the way it goes. I remember one lady I tried talking to 2 years ago. She said, I can't talk to you. I said, why not? She said, well, you're not ugly enough where I wouldn't have to worry about losing you. Like, what does that mean? She said, well, with the ugly dude, I don't have to worry about him going nowhere. All the women are calling him ugly. So my chances of losing him would be a lot less. Damn. Okay, let's see. Marcus writes the following here, and Marcus is from Birmingham, Alabama. Please tell these women when they go out on dates and they're going to be intimate with a man to not wear their period drawers. I would greatly appreciate it. PSA announcement. LOL. Marcus, Birmingham, California, Alabama. Marcus, you must have been with one of those women that had their favorite pair of panties. You know the one I'm talking about? The one with the floral print on them, the small little flowers, and they have the little leaves and shit on them. They're little bitty print. They're white cotton panties. And many times the elastic has worn the fuck out the waist. And what they do is they twist the damn waistband on them and then put a rubber band around it. Maybe two of them. Usually it's a red and a green one. And they wash them drawers so many times that they start to have these holes in them, but they're like vertical holes in them. And when she really doesn't feel like taking them off and don't give a damn, she said, oh, just rip them, just rip it, stick your dick in one of the holes. If they're playing Russian roulette. So, Marcus, there you go, buddy. I didn't want to read this one. This is from Patsy. And Patsy is out of Alta Loma, California. I've listened to your show for quite a while. You have an interesting perspective on things. I don't agree with some of the things you talk about, but then again, you do tell the truth on a lot of stuff. Because I've checked them out. The one thing that I really want to talk to you about is this. Sir, why do you curse so much on your show? You should clean up your show. There are plenty of other podcasts out there you could model your show after. And maybe it would be a better show and maybe you'll get more listeners. Just my opinion. Thought I'd drop that in your ear. Patsy, Alta Loma, California. Patsy, I do appreciate your listenership. But I'm not going to change the show for anyone. It's the way it is. Even if I had no listeners, the show would still go on the same way. By design. Keep listening, though. You might hear something of value. I appreciate you, though, Patsy. Let's see what we have here. Isabella out of Salt Lake City. And she writes the following. Well, I moved here. Boyfriend, I'm not going to say any more than his job didn't work out and looks like we're stuck. I'm ready to go back to Los Angeles. At this point, I don't want to break up with him. But I do miss what I was used to in LA. I love going to get a drink every once in a while. I love being around friends. Out here, isolated, and I can't relate to anyone. The only women that I know here have a whole bunch of children and they're in a large family. I have no children and no desire to have them. I moved out here because of my boyfriend's job. My job is pretty flexible. Working as a travel agent, I can go anywhere. And I'm preferring to go back to Los Angeles. Any ideas as to how I can tell him that I want to go back to LA, whether or not he goes with me? Would love to hear your response to this. Well, my dear, you don't want to tell him directly. You're one of these politically correct people from California. My dear, you're going to have to tell his ass directly. Hey, you know what? This ain't cutting it for me. I just can't do it. You're just going to have to tell him that. Because if you don't, he's going to still try to establish a place there for the two of you. Now, I'll admit now, California is expensive, so you got to look at also the reason why you left. Was it based on economic conditions? And it also depends on what kind of bookings you're getting, too, as to whether or not it's going to be successful there in California. Well, I'm sure since you've been there and worked there, it is. But as you know, California is a very non-forgiving place. You got to come in there with everything together. If you come in there with just a high school diploma or being a college dropout, a high school dropout, unless you know someone, it's going to be very tough. Tougher than it is in most parts of the country, because you hear this cynical response, well, it's tough everywhere, no matter what. No, it's a big difference. You got further to fall in California and New York than you do anywhere else. That's the way it is. But I understand where you're coming from, because there's some things that I miss about California being here in Vegas, for instance. Because it's like sometimes you're saying, damn, you know, I feel like going to the beach. Oh, shit. The only beach around here is Lake Las Vegas or Lake Mead. Well, that's fresh water, so that won't do. Now, give me some salinity in the water. Give me some sounds of ocean waves thundering. Seagulls in the background. Women walking down the beach with the wind blowing through their hair. Tan lines. People out there getting their ass whooped trying to fish. Brings back memories. But I understand where you're going. And I understand how you feel about it, dear. Just tell them directly. As men, we are direct. Prudence. Dear Prudence, would you come out to play? And Prudence is out of Tempe, Arizona. I met this guy, he lives in Kansas. He wants to fly out to visit me. We've been chatting for about 6 months now. We video chatted, we text, we talk on the phone, we text each other on the phone. Things seem to be going pretty well, but there's a couple of problems that I'm experiencing with him. Whenever we make a date where he's going to fly out, something comes up and everything has to be canceled. I thought about flying to see him one time. He told me that that wouldn't be advisable because he was in the process of moving. Is this guy just leading me on or what? I really need to know. And I heard your comment about Arizona. Not all of us are bad down here. Why don't you come down and find out? LOL. No, my dear, I didn't want to say Arizona was bad or anything like that. It's just one of the places that I probably would not want to move to. It has nothing to do with the state of the people now. It has to do with the fact that they were part of the Confederacy for 6 months. Yes, I'm biased like that. Now, here's the thing. He's got something going on. He doesn't want to be found out. Now he's talking about coming out to see you again. You're bracing for disappointment once more. He didn't want you to come out there because he's moved. Or he's moving. Okay, well, it seems like that was in the past. What about now? Conditions haven't changed. If conditions haven't changed, he's probably got a woman where he is, and he's using you for no more than just emotional relief. and it sucks to be in that situation. Don't waste any time. And by the way, you know damn well LDRs don't work that well. Long distance relationships have a very high fail rate. And it's usually within the first 6 months of starting. Just saying. Because what people get tired of, they actually get tired of beholding to a person that's not around them, having to, you know, sit on the phone for 2 or 3 hours every time you talk. Now just remember back in the day with LDRs, because I remember back in the day when they didn't have the internet. And I was talking to my girlfriends overseas. Those phone bills were kicking my ass. There was a company called MCI. And GTE. Yes, indeed. And they stood, just what it stood, but GTE, get to earning. Because you had to earn money to use their service. LA Cellular back in the day and all those places. Because the communications company, they bit a chunk out of our asses, especially if we were dealing with long distance or international. Now it's much easier, of course. But it exposes you to a lot of people that are just going to lead you on too. I think you've given it 6 months, my dear. Time to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. All right, William writes the following. And William is out of St. Augustine, Florida. I've been writing this girl in the Philippines now for the last 3 weeks. I've been going back and forth. I got a WordPress blog where she and I communicate. We want to have everything documented on our love story. Of course, we text message each other anything personal. I'm supposed to be flying to the Philippines this June to be with her for a month. This will be my first time over there. Anything crazy that I should look out for, anything I should understand. I'm 56 and she's 25. Don't judge me, LOL. William, what I would tell you is this. Read up on the laws there in the Philippines. I don't know what province you're going to be in. I don't know what city, what island, because they have like 7,000 to 9,000, I think 7,000 islands that are inhabitable. Respect the women there. They will disrespect you, but in a good way. Here's what they expect, William. From my personal experience being there a couple of times. The women are going to fill on your ass. There'll be some that will do that. Cat calls, blowing kisses, winking. There will be some aggressive women that will actually lock fingers with you because they'll look to see whether or not you have a ring on your finger. If you don't, she'll up and tell you she's your girlfriend. All the single women that are looking for a man will flirt with you openly. Now, you've been dealing with this woman. As soon as you get into her presence, she's going to claim you as hers. A lot of Filipino women are very possessive. They're very good women, very reliable. They're not going to be so much concerned about the material thing. If she is, more than likely she's been what is called Americanized. Because there's some that are just humble. They don't have any aspirations to go because they've already had relatives over here. And some have already been here. I would say the best type of woman to get, I mean, if you get a woman in the provinces, she may not have the level of education, but she'll still be a good woman. If you get a woman that's at the university or something like that, yeah, might have a little bit more meat and potatoes there. I would suggest making sure that she doesn't mind staying in the Philippines. A woman who already has it made in the Philippines and doesn't want to come to the States, I've found that those women are really some of the best women to have. Not because they have an aversion to coming to the States. Many of them either have already been here before, they weren't impressed, or they have been here before and say, okay, well, you know, I like where I am better. What I'm getting at is you don't want somebody just to come over for a come up. That's the thing. And you might find one that actually wants to, you might, you know, find her that she actually wants to come here and be with you. Nothing's wrong with that. It will. Now, a couple of things I will tell you. Make sure you keep your passport. Be careful about being invited somewhere by other women, because there are marauding gangs over there to rob you, especially as a tourist, being a white tourist. You're going to be preferred, especially by some of the women that see you as a meal ticket, because you have a contingent of people there, just like you do here in the States, that think that, you know, white people have money. It's not always the case. I mean, you may have some resources, but you're not rich. Now, I don't know what your financial status is, but I'm just saying in general, they kind of surmise that you got more than me, so you're rich as they see it. When I say more than me, I'm talking about more than they have. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of places to go, a lot of places to go on dates, and the dates are pretty cheap. I do karaoke. I still keep in touch with a lot of the people that I've known there, and they tell me all the time, not much has changed. So, culturally, you're looking at someone who's stable, someone that doesn't ask much. I will greatly appreciate whatever you do for them. When you come there to meet her family and everyone, bring a gift. It doesn't have to be a very expensive gift, but bring a gift. You might want to bring something from the U.S. or something like that to them. Don't stop at the gift shop there and then buy something. Bring something from over here. Also, you're going to be tempted to cheat. I'm not going to lie to you. There are going to be women that are throwing pussy at you just like they're throwing mud at a wall. And your interpersonal discipline has to come to the forefront. Because I'm telling you, Filipino women, some of them are very possessive. But they're wonderful women. And they can cook. Can definitely cook. So I wish you the best of luck on your trip. Just be safe. Be a little vigilant. Wear you something that's comfortable. Kind of loose fitting, because it's going to get hot and humid there. I'm talking about where your ass is going to be taking a bath almost every 20 or 30 minutes. You think Florida's bad. You haven't seen anything with the humidity. But in any case, keep in touch. Let me know how everything goes. Give us a holler while you're over there. Try to get you on the show while you're there. Now, yeah. Okay, I'm not gonna read that one. She seems to be very angry at people. Let's take a break, folks, and I'll be right back. Caitlin out of Council Bluffs, Iowa writes the following. I have a love-hate relationship with your show, and I don't know what I would do if I were to meet you. I don't know whether I would slap you or kiss you. LOL. I just wanted you to know this because sometimes you get on my nerves, but sometimes I like the nerve that you stand on. Many things you say on the show make a lot of sense. And some of them, of course, I can't relate to because I haven't lived in some of the places you've gone to. However, this happened to me a couple of years ago. Hate to be so retro, but it still kind of gets at me, and I have to bring this up. It's one of those things that I haven't told my family or friends. I had a very close friend of mine. She and I have been friends ever since middle school. I didn't know throughout the years that she didn't have quite the plumbing in order to carry or even conceive a child. We had always joked about getting married one day, and then eventually she did. I'm still single. I'm in my mid-30s now. And I kind of like the single life. I have no children and really don't plan on having any. She and her husband hit me with a proposal a couple of years ago. She wanted her husband to impregnate me, and I carry the child. At first, I was kind of offended. They offered me a considerable amount of money, and she tried to play on my friendship with her as leverage. This insulted me more than anything, and I asked her, why couldn't she go and maybe have some other alternative method done? And this is when I found out that she cannot produce any eggs. At first I had empathy for her. I felt really sorry for her. But then it got to a point where she told me that our friendship teetered on whether or not I would do this for her as a true friend. I said no. I was respecting their marriage, and from that point forward, she never spoke to me again. A mutual friend came to town recently, and when she asked me about her, I told her I haven't spoken to her in 2 years, only to find out that she had been telling this other friend some serious lies about me that were not even remotely true. I'm really hurt by this, and I'm wondering whether or not I should confront her about it or just let it go. Right now, the guy that I'm dating, he doesn't want me around them. I told him the whole story about this, and he's saying, let it go. Just leave it alone. I haven't told family, friends, or anyone else because I don't want to ruin her reputation, and I don't want to say something that's not true about her. I'm only saying the things that I know and that happened to me with her. What are your thoughts on this? Should I just let things go? Caitlin, you need to let it go. Enjoy your life with your boyfriend. Let it go. It's not that serious. I know she was close to you. I know she was a friend. She asked you that. And I'm willing to bet you it had more to do with her trying to keep her husband than anything else. You don't know what the status of their marriage is. It could be that he was going to leave her because she couldn't conceive. What I'm telling you is some women will get men in relationships because they want them so badly, and the woman may know that she may not have the capacity to give birth, but In order to keep him, she'll make compromises. And sometimes it may involve other people. Who knows? She probably told him, well, look, honey, we could have a three-way and, you know, she can get pregnant. I can't. Who knows? He probably was ready to leave her. You don't know, and you did a good thing by stepping left out of that situation. No matter how much money they would pay you, peace of mind would be it. Here's the other problem you would have. Even if you were to have gone through with it, if you would have had that child, you would have still been legally the biological mother, no matter how you look at it, because you gave birth to that child. The child came from your womb. So who are the characteristics that child would have? Yours and his. Your friend would be left out of the equation. But I would venture to say this. Who's to say that she didn't give a shit about the baby being born as long as she kept the man? I have a sneaking suspicion that she did not tell him that she couldn't conceive until they got married. I've heard of this happening one time. I was with someone that I didn't know them directly, but I knew them through a friend. And this lady led him on. She didn't believe in sex before marriage. And he took the moral high ground with her. They get married. She then goes to a gynecologist, and the gynecologist tells him, because she already knew, the gynecologist already told her many times over and many times before that she couldn't conceive. And so he got an education on that. And he felt like he had been duped. But when I talk about women getting the man they want, oh, they'll go to extremes to get him. They will go to extremes. A divorce ensued not too long after that. And see, that's what you have to understand, folks. When you deceive someone, they expect you to follow through with that deception. Okay, you said that you could have children, or you said you could do this. Now you're coming to tell me that you can't? Now, another thing you young men need to watch out for. There are some women out there that are already single moms. Some have had their tubes tied. Some have had full hysterectomies. Some have had partial. Who knows? But here's the thing. They may not tell you this to motivate you to be with them. That's their selling point. Well, you know, after all, I know you want a little junior, etc. And I guess I could probably have one with you to incentivize him to be with her. And then he's thinking, oh yeah, I'm already dead because she already has kids. But him not knowing that, that's just a lure to keep you going towards the relationship. Now, once when she gets your ass, she can always come up with an excuse about her not being able to conceive, etc., etc. By that time, you've already bought in. And then she might decide to suggest, well, you know, why don't you adopt the kids when she already has? A person I knew did that. Got caught up in a situation like that. And then when they divorced, He had to wind up paying child support because he had signed for custody of those, not custody, but parental rights for those children. And he was shocked that he had to pay child support for three kids. But he adopted them. They were his kids. Be careful. Be very careful, fellas. Because a lot of these folks are out for what they can get and the best deal they can get from you. Now, it's kind of interesting. I lost a couple of subscribers based on a show that I did, and one of them wrote me back, and this is what she said. I can't believe you put out a podcast saying that it was of no value for a man to marry a woman. It was only a liability or a burden, or words to that effect. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're teaching these people the wrong thing. As a woman, I provide a lot of things for my husband, and I took offense to what you said. I'm sure he's offended. When I told him about your podcast, he was the one that recommended that I discontinue listening. Anonymous. The reason why the husband more than likely did that is because he knows it's true. It doesn't mean that relationships are bad, ladies. It doesn't mean that men perceive them overall as negative outcomes. But men look at the risk associated with it. And that's a prerogative to unsubscribe. Go have a problem with it. The show's still going to go on. Because, see, the one thing that I did when I first put the podcast together, it was not going to be based on likes and follows. The people that are going to listen to the show, they're going to subscribe and listen. The ones that aren't, are not. But see, the problem with many folks, they're looking for the one bullet solution for everything. They look at it like, okay, I'll just take some cough medicine and the cough will go away. Everybody's relationship situation is different. There will never be one person, one podcast, one show that's going to fix anybody. When I started this podcast, it wasn't even popular to have a podcast. People were asking me, why the hell are you doing this? Nobody's going to listen to a podcast. And now it's one of the most popular platforms out there. And I find it ironic. But here's the thing that I'm saying. You can search high and low for answers. Nobody has them. And also, here's the thing. Being informed and being entertained are two different things. I try to have a subtle mix of both, but the thing is that information outweighs the entertainment. And this is why some people don't subscribe, because we don't have a panel of a whole bunch of people arguing with each other and cutting each other down, because people like that dynamic. They like that Jerry Springer effect. This is not that kind of show. Or they want to have guests because they want a different voice. Well, it's not that kind of show either. Because what I can share with you is far more important than the entertainment value associated with it. It's to help you make better decisions in life for yourselves, as opposed to going through some shit that you may not have to go through. where you can think through situations before you feel through them. And you have some people that are just set in their ways where they're going to make the same repetitive mistake over and over. They write this show all the time. They tell me how horrible it is and how things are going so well in their lives. And then a few months later, they're writing back talking about, what is it when something like this happens? Or why does somebody does this? Why is it like this? And 9 times out of 10, it has to do with them still doing the same old thing they did before. That's the reason why they got hurt the last time in a relationship. They haven't changed anything. Because what people expect many times over is for others to change while they stay the same. Because there's nothing wrong with them as they see it. And this is the false sense of perception they have about themselves. No. Many times they are the problem, not the other party. But see, the truth comes in when you involve yourself with ownership of what you've done to enhance whatever happened to you. And people don't like doing that. They'd rather blame and then keep the circle going. You know, it's kind of interesting. When they were interviewing on NBC, they were interviewing one of the investigators about the bridge collapse in Baltimore. And the reporter says, okay, who do you think is to blame for this? And the investigator smirked and he said, blame? He says, why don't we first find out what happened? Find out the facts instead of going with the feelings. Stumped the journalist totally. He had no comeback for that. Because the investigator answered the question wisely. Now, the other thing we have to realize too is this. Our perceptions of relationships vary in regards to what type of relationship we're in. You could have two people in a relationship and both of you could say that you're in a long-term committed relationship. And if you ask the two parties to define it, you may get two different answers altogether. Okay, well, what are the boundaries on the relationship? Well, the woman may say, well, the boundaries are we are committed to each other, we stay with each other within the relationship, no intimacy or inappropriate contact with anyone outside of it. The guy may say, well, we're committed to each other, and whatever happens when we're not in the presence of each other is our own personal business. Those are two different perspectives, aren't they? And many couples never ask those questions to each other. Like, define cheating in your relationship. One party may say, I remember one lady I was with, she told me straight up, she said, cheating is if a man looks at another woman, if he has a conversation with another woman, and she went down the list. And she said, what's cheating to you? I said, cheating to me is if you exchange emotions with another person and you follow it up with physical action. She said, oh no, that's too vague for me. Monica was even worse because she was like, if another woman's in the room, you cheated. I don't care if we're at a party. If there are more women in there than me, you cheated. Of course, she was joking. But here's the thing. A lot of couples really don't have a coordinated interpretation of certain things that are important and pertinent to the relationship. You could ask a couple, why did you marry? What's going to be the nexus? Oh, we love each other. Then you could ask them, what was the purpose of your marriage? Oh, being together. Very generic, right? But if couples started asking each other's questions, they'd probably find some answers that they didn't expect. That's the reason why many couples don't. Like I told you about that question about asking a partner, are you the best that they could do for a partner? And the likelihood is that more women will dismiss the question and say, let's talk about something else, than men will. Because there are some women out there that think they could have done better in the selection of a partner, and it's still an issue with them, even though they may be married or in a relationship, and they don't want to wake up the dead. Are you the best I could possibly do? Now, of course, ladies have that booby trap question. If something were to happen to me, which one of my friends would you be interested in? Fellas, that is a trick question. As you know, if you answer that question, that's a mousetrap, and that piece of cheese that you're trying to go for. Mm-mm. Oh, honey, none of your friends would measure up to the caliber of woman you are. Don't fuck around and do like I did, because Monica really pushed me on that, and I talked about one of her friends, and boy, that was the biggest mistake I could have made. She's not going to be invited to any more of my parties. You don't have to punish the woman. The woman's got a boyfriend. You don't have to punish her. And see, that's the thing. That's their way of filtering out that friend that's a potential threat. And as I told you before, fellas, if you're dating a woman and she has a friend that's finer than she is, or several of them, you're not going to meet them usually until after she's gotten a commitment from you. Because she knows damn well the competition is too thick for her to win. She already knows this. And so, with that said, what happens? She's going to wait until somebody's getting married, one of her friends, and she's going to introduce you as a fiancé or a potential husband. Oh, you trust me, you are definitely going to have a title. Now, fellas, let me let you in on something else too. If you get into a relationship with a woman and she's pushing you to buy her a ring, like an engagement ring, friendship ring, please stay ring, don't leave me ring, I love you ring, or whatever the fuck she wants to call it. She's doing that to have as a prop. So when you do meet those fine ass friends of hers, she's already got a stake or a claim on you. Now, there's another situation that you may be faced with, fellas. And I was faced with this a couple of times. You meet one of her friends, and you guys already have an attraction to each other when you meet the first time. And she sees this attraction. And the thing is one of those attractions that she had to work for the two of you to get together. But this thing comes just like clockwork between you and that other person. Oh, shit. When that happens, bruh, you got some explaining to do. And I don't mean something where you're going with your tongue hanging out to get with this woman. It's just that you guys click. And she may be envious of how well the two of you get along, but she had to work for you guys to be on that same level. was with one lady, and she told me straight up, she said, no, you don't need to be with me. You need to be with my friend, because you guys talk as if you guys have been dating before. You just met. And I'm like, no, we just get along. I mean, she's on her side of the fence. I'm on my side of the fence. I'm with you. And she's like, well, why can't we communicate as freely as you guys do? And I explained to her, I said, well, in many ways, it's a task talking to you, because you overanalyze everything that's said. Let me give you an example. I took this woman to the Chart House. It's a restaurant up at the PCH. Why are we going there? Oh, we're going there because women wear bikinis on the beach and you'll be able to say, no, we're going there because they have good seafood. You said you like seafood. I was like, damn. Dealing with that. So, one thing. Now, they have a lot of other trick questions. Which one of my girlfriends do you trust? Now, here's the thing with that trick question. She's not necessarily asking your judgment about which one would you trust for you. She's trying to decide on which one of her girlfriends would have to go, because there's somebody she doesn't trust in that group. It could very well be that somebody had spread a rumor or said something that she said and it got back to someone else, and she's trying to smoke them out. Now, a clever move that some women will do, a woman that's interested in you will say something like, I just want to ask you a man's opinion on something. Here's the catch with that. If she's genuinely asking you a question for your opinion, she's only going to ask one. If she's interested in you, she's going to continue. And it's going to go at different levels until it gets to a point till it's personal. And that's okay. Some women will use that technique in order to get next to a man. Nothing's wrong with that, ladies. Nothing's wrong with that. But I tell you, one technique I would not recommend that you do to get to a man, don't try to embarrass him into walking it back to be with you. Let me give you an example. Because some women would do this. They would be in a bar and they would cut in front of the guy and they would order a drink and then say, well, he's paying for it. And then after doing so, she says, okay, now where are we going to sit? This is called a lock-in. When she is trying to lock you into an obligation. Don't fall for this shit. And usually you'll find some ghetto women try this, or some women who have been out there playing the game so long, they will try this shit. And the dumbass simp will always buy the drink and then follow, because this is what she's used to. What she's doing is testing whether or not you will stand up to her. And 9 times out of 10, if you say, no, wait a minute, I ain't paying for shit, she's not going to be interested. She's going to call you cheap and broke. If you pay for it, you are the prize winner, she sees it. And you think you've won a prize. No, what you've won is you've got your certificate in being a simp. Because now she's led you on. And she knows, oh, well, you know what? This means that I can go do shit and then have him be responsible. Don't fall for that, fellas. Oldest trick in the book. Another thing that women will bait you on. You be on the first date and you're talking about things, and then she starts talking about sex. Talking about what she likes. How she would go and let a guy do whatever. Talk about she may like to taste the semen, all this other shit. And then you're of course trying to match her in the conversation. She's gonna say it's gross, and then she's gonna bring it back to something else. Please understand, a lot of those women that do this, they have no intentions of following up with their words. They're doing that to get the attention and to get the arousal of a man. They're teasers. And see, they like to do that. They get a rise out of that. So their little pillow talk on the phone, they're implementing it in public. They're implementing it in real time with a guy. Because what it's doing is boosting their self-esteem. Think of it like this. As one lady used to tell me about when she was abused. Her abuser used to talk in salacious ways to her. And then when the person would have this moment of moral consciousness, they would come back and try to correct the person, her, that he was abusing, when she would go and contribute to what this person implied. And of course, that person would try to take the moral high ground and leave her feeling like she was the dirty one or the bad one. It's the same manipulation, only in a different package. Watch yourselves, fellas. Watch yourselves. Now, another thing I would strongly advise you not to do, gentlemen, if you're going to get with a woman, if she gets all of her news from social media, she's fucked up. Viable news sources only, because she'll wind up repeating something that may not be true. Just because it's on social media, just because it's on the internet, doesn't mean it's true. That just means it's been posted. I remember back in the early 90s when I was taking my IT courses. One of the instructors told us, he says, what we're going to do on our network here, because they had like a blog set up, I'm going to have one person start out with a total lie. And I want each of you to embellish that lie as this person set out the initial conversation. So the individual came up with something that was totally preposterous. I think it was, if I'm correct, it was Los Angeles was being invaded by dinosaurs. And from that point forward, everybody had to contribute in the comment section about what they witnessed about the dinosaurs. And what he was trying to prove at that point was how socialization can be manipulated. He was showing us how a person can come up with a rumor or something, and it was spread. And what he said was kind of interesting. He said the people who contributed to the comments were not the consumers of the information, but but the new visitors to the blog were, and then they would tell others. Whether they believed it or not, as outlandish as it was, it got buzz. Social engineering at its finest, folks. That's what that was. And that's what that class was that we took. And see, that's the thing. This is the reason why you do not want a low information person as a partner. That means they get all their news off of social media, their favorite website or favorite commentator. When I post articles on this show, I post them on facebook.com/romantictruth, but they come from reliable sources. Because I'm not going to post something from a Facebook post on the page. Now, if there's a TikTok where a person is doing something that's informative and that's been checked out, I put it on there. If they had a personal experience or something like that, and it's viable, boom. But when it comes down to news sources and that kind of thing and things that will impact a person's life, it's got to be from a legitimate source. By the way, folks, for those of you who don't know, Trump has come up with, no joke, he's come up with, I guess he and Lee Greenwood partnered to create this Bible, King James Version, I'm serious. Has a copy of the Constitution in it, Pledge of Allegiance, and he's trying to sell it. When will it end? When will it end? Sneakers, steaks, suits, Trump University, Trump Shuttle, the Trump Black Card. How many failures? But what this shows you is how gullible people can be. And just as gullible as they are for a politician, they're just as gullible for people that are out there looking for love. So, watch yourself, folks. Watch yourselves. The following, dated March 27th at 11:59 p.m. Johnson, I've been listening to your show now for 5 years. I love your show. I know you have your critics, and I know your subscriptions have been down. That's because you talk about things that people really don't want to discuss or really want to face in relationships. My girlfriend is a person that didn't subscribe anymore because you were hitting too close to home about some of the topics you talked about. Well, I'm faced with my own issue here. And it's not me, it's definitely the guy I'm going out with. I met this guy on Match recently. We went on our first date. Everything was well when I first met him. After we started going on the date, things started getting weird. I would talk to him, and he would act as if I was invisible or not in the car at all. When we got to the date, it was even worse. At the restaurant, he didn't even acknowledge me or ask me what I wanted. He didn't ask me how the meal was or anything. At first, I thought this was a deliberate act, and I got upset with him. And then when he came out of whatever the hell he was dealing with, he was fine. He was interacting with me. Well, today broke the camel's back because I invited him over for dinner. Everything was okay for a moment, and Then he sat down on the couch and zoned the hell out. I was literally talking to him, and he never once looked up at me. And then he started talking, wanting to give me a hug and interacting. There is something definitely wrong with this guy, and it creeps me out, and I'm afraid to go forward. I've decided to end everything. When I told him this, he didn't seem to hear me. He didn't seem to even react or interact. Before he left, he gave me a hug and told me that he's going to call me tomorrow. What is going on here? Have you ever experienced something like this before? Sabrina, San Francisco, California. Sabrina, yes, I have, twice. Now, I will tell you what this person had that I was with. It was a condition called alienation. And it may be perceived as a deliberate act, because that's what I thought it was with this lady. But it wasn't. This is something that is baked into the cake. Now, I found this out from one of her friends. We went to her birthday party. I dated this woman for about 3 months. I noticed something as soon as we started dating. When I would have the conversation with her about the relationship, what we plan on going with it or whatever, she checked out. Checked completely the hell out. Didn't look at me, acted as if I was never in the car. And at first I thought it was deliberate, I thought she was playing games. We get to the restaurant, and then all of a sudden she's all lovey-dovey, hugs, kisses, thanking me for taking her out. When we sat down to eat, she was interactive. Right after the meal, on the way home, we were talking, and all of a sudden, boom, she's looking out the window, she's looking around, as if I'm not in the car. I get her home, she gets out of the car, no thank you for the date, no nothing, walks into her apartment, closes the door. So I'm thinking I did something wrong. She calls me up later on that night, thanks me for the date. Hey, we have to definitely do this again because I really like you, etc., etc. And when I said, you do? She hung up. And so I'm kind of confused. I'm like, okay, this woman wants to go on a second date. But she just hangs up in my face. So I called her throughout the week, like a Wednesday, I believe. I called her just to schedule or whether we're going to go out on Friday or Saturday night. She said Friday, because during that time, she'll have more free time, because Saturday she had to do a lot of cleaning at the house. I come pick her up Friday. She's very interactive. She's kissing me. You know, she's like, I just want to go somewhere like a beachside restaurant. So we did that. We got there. Same thing happened. She zoned out for a good 30 minutes. I mean, 30 minutes, it was like, I just quit talking to her because it was like she was just there. Saturday, the next day, she calls me. Hey, why don't you come over? I'm making sandwiches and you could help me clean up and we could get this done, blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. I get over there. A couple of her girlfriends are there. And so she's putting things in boxes. And then she goes away. And I'm looking for her and everything. And one of her girlfriends says, you know, hey, come here. I went over. And she said, yeah, she has a condition. They call it alienation, where ever so often she doesn't identify with the environment or with anyone around her. And then it comes back. And I'm like, well, hell, I thought it was me. And she was like, well, I'm surprised she got a boyfriend, because all of the men she's had before, they've left her by now. I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, she says, she's my friend, I love her, but this is one of the problems. She said she's had this ever since she known her. And so it gave me an insight. And then I read up about alienation. And it seems to be a psychological condition or break from the world at certain intervals, where when they come back out of this, it's like they're all smiles and giggles, at least she was. And I was afraid to have sex with this one, but we did. And she lasted until after her orgasm. And then after that, I'm still inside of her, we're talking. Then all of a sudden, she's like in this other world. And I said, you know what? I'm getting out of this shit, because I don't know what she's going to come out of this with when she comes back to her normal self. And it's not that these people are bad people. It's that they have a condition that is very difficult to manage. And it was something that I couldn't deal in my wheelhouse. And I openly admitted that. And I had to literally wait until she was coherent again, that's the way I could put it, and tell her, hey, you know, I think that we need to be just friends. And she's like, why? I don't understand. What happened? What went wrong? And I explained to her what's going on. She said, oh, you're just like the rest of the other guys. Yeah, okay, well, that's fine. You don't want me. I understand it. And she packed all her shit up and left. Now, the interesting thing was, a couple of days later, she calls me up. I miss you. I want to see you again. Okay. So I went over to her place. And once again, when I got there, she had checked out. My greeting was, rang the doorbell, she opened the door, walked away, sat down, turned on the TV, never said hello, never said good morning, nothing. Then all of a sudden, and I said, well, hell, I guess I better leave then, because I'd been talking to her, greeting her and stuff. Why are you leaving? Come on, sit down. Sit down. No, no, no. And then I said, I can't deal with this shit. I can't deal with this shit. And I walked out. You will think that this condition is deliberate, but it's not. Now, there's some people that do this shit deliberately. But see, there may be side effects from alcohol or drug use that causes this to happen as well. It depends. I'm no doctor. But I know one thing for damn sure. If you get into a relationship with a person like that, trust and believe, it's not a healthy relationship to be in unless you actually know what you're getting into and you know how to manage dealing with that situation. Because it puts you on an emotional roller coaster ride, because you don't know, okay, is it okay to talk to this person now? Or is it best just to avoid them altogether? I would never trust anyone like that. That's just me. This is no indictment. They're not inferior or anything like that. But what I am saying is, Sabrina, you're doing the right thing. Because that person needs more help than they need a relationship. I know they get lonely, but here's the thing. When you're dealing with something like that, you never know how they're going to come out of it as far as what is the next emotion you're dealing with. Now, her friends knew this situation, and I'll never forget her friend Carrie. And Carrie, if you're out there, dear, thank you so much. Because she was very supportive. She hung in there. And she was really trying to help her friend. But this is what happens. This is what happens sometimes. Now, there's another condition that I think it's called mere familiarity, I believe. But what it comes down to is these people only gravitate to people that they know are familiar with. Even if you're a new person, this is the condition this other lady that I dated had. Even though she and I just started dating, she didn't want to meet any of my friends. She didn't want to meet anyone associated with me. And she only favored the people she knew. And what that meant was, in her mind, everything associated with me was inferior. Even though I made more money than she did, lived in a better neighborhood than she did, but she had this perception of, she wanted a relationship, but the way she looked at it was, the only people that had any value were the people she knew. Very biased in that perception. And that was something else to contend with. So when you're out there, like I was out there 30 plus years, you run across a tapestry of different people and different situations and different issues. Because once again, when you're looking at the packaging of people, many times you fail to notice the content because you don't know what you're dealing with inside that package. A lot of you ladies, first thing you do when you find out the guy is all self-absorbed. Oh, he's a narcissist. He's a narcissist. You didn't go into that relationship saying he was a narcissist. You had to find out, didn't you? And the way you found out was you opened the package. You got to know him. You know, it's funny in America, folks, for those of you in the international audience, a lot of Americans don't like to hear some of the things that happened to other people. You know, the bad things, they only want to hear the good shit. Because we have this false sense of everything's supposed to kind of be gold at the end of the rainbow. A lot of people gaslight themselves and are in some of the worst situations a person can possibly find themselves. But they don't want to hear anything realistic. Not negative, but realistic. You look at what we have done with the political correctness in our society. We can't call a person fat when they are fat, when they call themselves fat. We have to call them Rubenesque. We have to call them juicy, thick, large and in charge, some empowering thing. Because what we do is we coddle people. But if we tell the truth, we're being mean. Oh, I've had people that write this show. Oh, you're being mean by the way you talk on your show. This is the reason why I'm unsubscribing. This is the reason why I don't want to listen to your podcast. Because it's the truth. You don't have to be mean. I'll give you an example. There's a transgender person that got upset when this guy took this person out on a date. And he asked this individual, are you pre-op or post-op? Now, he already was into dating transgender people. Well, the person he was on a date with took offense and wanted to be taken home. As if they can fool somebody into believing, oh yeah, you have a vagina and you're just like a woman. The reality is, they're not biologically a woman. They want to convert themselves to womanhood or to be a woman. And there's nothing wrong with that if they choose to do that. But the denial part of it is the problem. For most people, for me especially. Be who you are and be proud of it. Okay, if you're pre-op transsexual, that's fine. But they're even scared to say that. Many of them. And I'm not talking about them just because of their gender choice. I'm talking about the denial, the delusion. It's the equivalent of me going into a bank, telling people I'm a billionaire when I'm not, and then getting into an argument with the bank teller to give me my billions of dollars. It's 51-50 my ass if I came in saying something like that. And we can expand this to even some of the delusional Trump supporters. Let's face it. They'll say something that they heard on repeat from Trump, and then they have no way of justifying it because they don't give a shit about the facts. It's about their feelings. Your feelings are never your friend, folks. They're only temporary, and they're only there for a reason. And whatever that reason is, it's because they've been triggered. Making decisions that are life-altering based on your feelings instead of the facts will get you fucked up many times over. Just tell me. Now let's look at a few things here. Relationships are hard to get into and they're hard to manage. Because you got to find a decent person that you'd like to be with. And then you'd have to consider all of the things you would have to contend with in that relationship. And some of the things that are unknown to you that you have yet to find out. And then figure out a way of coping and, of course, compromising. But you have the dilemma. Oh yes, I could be by myself and enjoy the single life. That shit gets old. I can't tell you how many women I used to see at these mixers and these events where they would talk about how they enjoyed being single, lying through their fucking teeth. Because they had been single so long, they couldn't do nothing but enjoy it because nobody wanted them. And the reason why no one wanted them, they had these superficial standards. And they would bypass some of the guys that were genuinely interested in them because they were waiting for a Prince Charming. They were waiting for the guy that was going to make the big change in their lives. And then they'll go for this handsome, charismatic guy. And then this guy would fuck them over and leave them broke. I've seen this happen so many times. especially California. And I will tell you this, when it would happen, it would go to the extreme. Men are this, men are that. No. Your choice in men is this or that. Because if you chose a narcissist and that narcissist burned you and took everything you had, that's on you. I can't blame women for some of the frogs that I've had to kiss along the way. I can't just go and have an indictment against women and say, all women are like this. I'd be lying through my teeth if I did. I met some decent women in America, but I will tell you this much, and I'm not going to kid you. I've had more successful relationships with women from other countries than I have with American women. Overall, I had a higher volume of dates and relationships with American women. But it wasn't to say that all of the American women I dated were bad women to date. They were not. I had some good dates, but I have to be truthful. The majority of them failed. And the reason why, partially on my fault, for choosing materialistic women. I own that. Trying to prove myself in relationships with people I'm supposed to be in relationships with, when I could be with someone else, prove myself once, and never had to go through that repetitive cycle. Fellas, let me tell you the worst thing in the world to do. Get with a woman and you spend a shitload of money on her and see she's not worth the money that you spent. It's just like buying a stock that is going to be on the decline no matter what, but they think they're still worth that. You've done it already. You've written in about this shit. Going out getting extra credit cards, getting lines of credit, seconding your house in order to appease a woman because she want to have a kitchen redecorated. You're not even married, don't even live with her, she doesn't live with you, but you're trying to do this to bring her into your life. You guys are going co-signing for cars, putting her on an extra credit card on your account. You've written in about this dumb shit you're doing. You're not married to her, and they complain about how she didn't hold her end of the bargain up. Complain about how she took you to the cleaners. That's on you. The one thing that you will learn, if nothing else, about many of these women that are out there, you will learn that you're going to have to be more selective in the woman that you get into your life. Times are getting much tougher now. Mistakes are much more costly now than they were in the past. Back when I first started dating, if you got a bus, you could recuperate within another paycheck cycle. Now, shit, that woman can ruin you for a long time. I looked at my credit report today, and I will tell you this much. This is the highest it's ever been in my life. And it's very, extremely, very high. But you know what I wouldn't do? I would never get involved with a woman that would ask me what my credit score was. Oh, you're not fucking that up. Because a lot of the debt that I carried for a long time has been paid off. It's in the paid column. fellas, if you're in your 50s and up, and you're talking about getting into a house, unless you got cash, don't fuck your life off struggling if you don't have to. To please a woman. Oh, you gotta buy me a house and that. I was listening to a guy on a podcast the other night. He's 56 years old. His girlfriend's 26. She had 3 kids already. Well, she's pregnant now with his kid. He lives in an apartment, and she wants him to buy a home. And the people on the panel was telling him that he'd be about 80 when that house is paid off. And then they started calculating how old he would be when that child turns 18. And the one lady told him the truth that he didn't want to hear. He's in denial and he's going forward with getting the house because this is what the woman wants. She told him, she's going to get your ass in that house. And then she's going to divorce you or have you put out. This guy's close to retirement. So there's a lot of other factors that are involved. She could pretty much dump him. She's going to more than likely ask to marry him before it's over with. It's a big risk that he's taking. But when a man's in love, he'll do shit like that. But fellas, you're going to have to really watch yourselves and watch your behavior. For your own sake, especially when you get older. I'm very slow on dating younger women now. I date a woman from 40 up. I would like to date a woman only if she has gone through menopause and the menstrual cycle thing is completely done. So she'd have to be around 45, middle age and up. Someone that doesn't want to have children. And what do you wind up with, fellas? An influx of younger women in their 20s that are frustrated with these younger men that are now, at least some of these women are loyal. Some of these women are good women. They're young, but the thing is, you're going to always be asked that question, usually. Oh, we need to have a love child. We need to have a child between us. And by the way, folks, as a correction, because a lot of people get it mixed up. The woman, when it comes down to her eggs, the eggs actually get old as she ages. The sperm from a man can still impregnate a woman without a problem, no matter how old he is. And sometimes people get that mixed up and thinking that, oh, his sperm is old. It doesn't matter. His sperm can still impregnate a woman. You know why I know? I'm a living example. My father was 65, my mom is 22, and I'm here. Put that myth to rest. Well, folks, I gotta go, but I wish you all the best, and we'll talk more on tomorrow.
We of Romantic Truth appreciate your listenership.
Listeners, you're invited to stream and listen to Jawsen's music on Apple Music, Amazon Music, Spotify, AudioMac, or Deezer. Type in Jawsen in the search for artists to follow and like modern instrumental music from his discography.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those solely of the host and are not condoned or endorsed by Romantic Truth, Anchor, or any of its affiliates.
The advice given herein is the expressed opinion of the host and not to be used for legal, marital, or family, counseling, or for professional practice purposes. In the event for professional assistance, please contact the local licensed professional family counselor, marriage counselor, or social services professional in your region.
If you need someone to talk to in regards to help, you may contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255, available 24 hours. All correspondences read on the show have been pre-screened and pre-approved by the submitter to be aired on the show.
Be advised that all of the background music of production not provided by Anchor is owned by James Adams and Jawsen One Music, exclusively licensed for this Romantic Truth podcast under waiver.
Please understand that there were no people or animals hurt in the segments of this show, including plants. All sound effects were improvised in the studio setting with props. We are an equal opportunity employer with two Yorkie poodles and a rat terrier as the security detail.
Please be advised that the content of this podcast is under copyright by Romantic Truth and James Adams.